Hello and welcome to the In the Pen podcast, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. I am Jake Crumpler, filling in for Callan Eslager, and I'm joined by Rick Graham, as always, the Pitcherless bullpen expert. How are you doing today, Rick?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be back and, you know, getting into some all-star news this week and, you know, just talking relievers in general again.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on. We haven't recorded for a couple weeks or so, but there's been a lot of stuff going on even just in the past week. So as always, we'll start with three up and three down. Who's rising in your closer charts this week? Closing time, excuse me. I know we have three guys that you have down on the rundown of guys that have been moving up your ranks, and you want to go over those?
Yeah, so I guess they're not really moving up, but more so new additions to the list. Not mm-hmm. a ton of names moved up the list this week, but you know, Kenley Jansen's coming back this week, kind of. And like one hand, I'm excited for that. On the other hand, I feel like a little like kind of nervous for him because that whole heart issue, and mm-hmm. it's not the first time he's missed time with that. It's obviously a scary thing to deal with, but it seems like he threw a bullpen yesterday. Seems like he's ready to go. So it'd be exciting to see him back closing out games for Atlanta. I may have prematurely put Corey Knebel back on the list as he just pitched the sixth inning of it was kind of a big situation and he got out of a jam for the Phillies, but it seems like they might be heading into more of a three-headed closer committee with Knebel, Sir Anthony, and Brad Hand.
Yeah.
I feel like Knebel's pitched really well lately, and I don't know if there's a chance for him getting his job back, but I feel like if there is one, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And then Texas, kind of that whole situation, Joe Barlow, I was not expecting him to get removed from the closer role anytime soon. And so Brett Martin stepped in, and he's actually been really good lately and could have some sneaky, you know, mixed league, you know, value down, mm-hmm. at least currently, maybe possibly throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Those are some great points. I think Jansen has been dealing with this stuff throughout the years, at least the last 5 years. So it hasn't really been too serious. I mean, anytime you hear something that has to do with your heart, you know, you start getting a little bit worried, but he seems to have been able to work through this in the past. So I'm hoping that he returns, you know, just as good as he was before, because he was doing really well in that first half. And in terms of Knebel, he's been really good recently. I too was surprised to see you move him back into the closer spot in Philadelphia, but he has gone 7 2/3 scoreless innings over his past 8 or 9 appearances or so. Yeah. He only struck out 7 guys and walked 3 guys during that time, but he allowed just 1 hit. So he's been really good. And that was sort of the whole reason why he got taken out of the closer role, because he wasn't good. So, but yeah, I mean, Sir Anthony Dominguez, I think he deserves to stay in the role. I mean, I think he's better than Knebel, in my opinion, but you never know, especially with Philadelphia not having Joe Girardi there anymore. You don't really know what the manager there likes to do. Like, we don't have any past precedent for how he likes to deal with the closer role. And Brett Martin is really interesting. I think he has gotten each of the last 3 saves for the Rangers, which is pretty interesting because it seems to, he's like immediately put in as the preferred option. And I don't think if you had asked anybody around the league in any of your fantasy leagues or for pitcher lists, like, hey, who do you think is going to be the closer if Joe Barlow is taken out? I don't think anybody would have said Brett Martin. I think they would have said Dennis Santana or even Brock Burke, maybe even Matt Moore. But yeah, Brett Martin is that guy. And so far this year, he's been pretty good. 2.89 ERA, 1.18 whip. He only strikes out 21.1% of batters, but he gets ground balls over 55% of the time, over 56% of the time. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. He uses a curveball 40% of the time. Yeah. So I mean, that's what you always talk about in your articles as well. Guys that use their breaking pitches more often can lead to breakouts. And that has seemed to be the case so far for Martin in his fourth year in the majors. But yeah, so those are the 3 guys that we've got, or that Rick has got, you know, added to the list recently. So now on the other side of the ball, we've got 3 guys moving down the list, or I guess moving off of the list. And who are those 3 guys for you this week?
So 2 guys that moved down, Taylor Rogers has been, you know, he has been struggling lately. And I'm a big Taylor Rogers believer. I've been a fan of him for a while, and he does have these, you know, where he's not a guy who gets a ton of swings and misses, he is going to have these funks, and I'm not overly concerned. I mean, it's been bad lately. He's had up 13 hits and 7 runs over his last 5.2 innings, which that can't be doing that in a closer role.
No.
But I don't know. There's not much. I think they're going to ride with him. They're going to stick with him. There's not really a ton of competition there. They traded for him for this reason, to be in this role. So I think, unless it keeps going, I think they're going to try to stick it out with him. Camilo Duvall has kind of been not a lot of talk. I haven't seen a lot of talk about him, but like he's got one save over the past 3+ weeks. He's allowed 6 runs over his last 6.1 innings. Kind of pitching in all sorts of different situations. He's worked in the 6th inning a couple times, so I don't know. I'm not too worried about him from his stuff and how talented he is, but it's Gabe Kapler and the Giants, and
yeah,
he's known to, you know, just on a whim, you know, move guys around in that bullpen and change their roles for whatever reason. So a little worried about him going forward. I mean, definitely not like droppable territory yet, but just a little concern. And then, yeah, Joe Barlow getting knocked off the list because I get the hard hit rates have been pretty bad, but he's been mostly affected this year. And like you said, I was not going back to Brett Martin. I think in the pitcherless Discord, we were throwing around names as who's going to replace Barlow. And I think we named everyone in that bullpen except for Brett Martin, maybe. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know how long this is going to last, but I think for now, I don't think you need to hold on to him in, you know, standard 12 team leagues at this point. There is some talented other arms in that bullpen. So yeah, I feel like you can let him go at this point.
Yeah. I read that they were taking Barlow out just to give him some time to rest. I mean, he's a young pitcher. I think he's 26, and they were already concerned before the season started about using him in, you know, high pressure situations that would sort of take his confidence away. So this seems like maybe give him a little bit of rest, give him a chance to get his confidence back. So there is a pretty big opportunity for him to come back into that role. But like you said, there's lots of really good guys in that bullpen. The Rangers are sort of have a chance at making the postseason, you know, as one of the last wildcard teams. So there's a chance that he gets there. But yeah, like you said, there's so many options there. They're turning to Martin right now. There's no guarantee that Barlow takes it back. Definitely don't drop in 15 teamers. I think wait a week or two, maybe wait till after the All-Star break. But if 12 teamers, you've got other choices out there. Brett Martin's out there. You might want to go with the hot hand. But as it comes to Taylor Rogers and Camilo Duvall, the only thing I see with them is that there's not really any clear replacement. For Duvall, they just DFA'd Jake McGee from the Giants, leaving, you know, Tyler Rogers and Dominic Leone as the top two options there. And in San Diego, it's like Luis Garcia and nobody else. So who do you think is the most dangerous at taking over each of their jobs? Or now that I make that point, do you think, like, you know, maybe these guys aren't really at risk of losing their jobs anytime soon, since there's not really anybody that could clearly take over quickly?
Well, that's the thing, especially in, well, I guess like San Diego, I don't see anyone. Drew Pomeranz still a ways away. Mm-hmm. And then like, he's not going to come back and just go right into the closer role. So, I don't really see anyone. Luis Garcia has been so up and down. He's been hot and cold. I don't think I don't think that's a productive change to make there. So that's why I kind of feel like Rogers is safe, and Duvall should be the same way, because Tyler Rogers hasn't been pitching well for San Francisco for much of the season. And yeah, you got Leon, you got John Brebbia, but are those really guys you want to turn to in the closer role? But it's the only reason why I'm a little hesitant with Duvall in San Francisco is because of Gabe Kapler's track record of kind of just, you know, confusing and mystifying people as like who he turns to in the closer role. So if like John Breberia ends up being the closer next week, that's not, it's kind of crazy, but at the same time, I'm not, at this point, I'm not surprised by like anything they really do with their bullpen.
Yeah, so I mean, that'll finish up the three up, three down. There's not really any pertinent news going on right now. We sort of covered it all with the three up, three down, but there are some bullpens that are, you know, in flux. You got the Rangers, obviously, like we just covered. The Rays are always going to be in flux, you know, maybe through the end of time. And possibly even the Twins, but we'll cover a lot of these bullpens at the end with the What to Watch For segment. So stay tuned for the end of the podcast. But for now, we're going to take a quick break. All right, and we are back on the In the Pen podcast. I am Jake Crumpler, joined by Rick Graham. If you know too many Jakes, you can refer to me as Crump. That's my common nickname. But we talked about some news. We talked about some three up, three downs. But let's talk about some more exciting news in terms of All-Stars. We've just got the full rosters revealed, all the pitchers. So we thought it'd be a good idea to cover both the AL and NL All-Stars. All-Stars from both leagues. You want to run down those ones from the AL first, and then we'll hit the NL ones before covering some snubs, some guys who we think should have made it that didn't.
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, the AL is an interesting one now that I'm just like looking at it. It's, I don't think going into the start of the season, I would have picked any, maybe one person on here I would have picked as representing the AL at the All-Star game. But yeah, we got Clay Holmes, Jorge Lopez, Gregory Soto, and Emmanuel Clase. I guess I could have seen him at the beginning of the year as representing the AL in the All-Star game, but Jorge Lopez is kind of the one that sticks out. This is Clay Holmes, like ascent to being basically the right-handed Zach Britton has been crazy to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all those guys, I think, are definitely deserving. But yeah, like you said, you don't really go into the season guessing that, you know, a setup guy for Aroldis Chapman is going to become an all-star, or that Jorge Lopez, a failed starter, was going to turn into a relief ace in the bullpen. But I talked about this on one of my other podcasts. You know, who else was going to be the all-star for Baltimore other than Jorge Lopez? He's been pretty amazing. And it's pretty crazy that Soto has made it in back-to-back years. But yeah, Clay Holmes is absolutely wild. And you know, I mean, you know about him. You do a lot of research on relievers, but an 83.3% ground ball percentage from Holmes is just absolutely mind-blowing. He's probably going to like set some sort of record with that. And it's not like that's the only thing he does. He also strikes out 27% of batters and doesn't walk anybody. So definitely deserving. I think all these guys are deserving. Like you said, lots of surprises here. Crazy that Soto has made two All-Star teams at this point in his career.
Yeah.
But yeah, got any more things to say about those guys before he hit the National League?
That's kind of the one that stands out to me is Gregory Soto. And I feel like he's not even, I mean, you can clearly see that there's a little bit bias towards, you know, closers and guys who get saves, which, you know, I don't know. It's the way that how far the game has come and how there's like high leverage relievers versus closers now. You would think that might have changed because I feel like Gregory Soto is at best the third, you know, best reliever on that team. And I don't, you're not going to have Michael Fulmer or Alex Lang, you know, in the All-Star game. Sure. But I don't know. Soto, this is, that's also, you know, the Tigers need someone to represent them. So I get it. But I guess Miguel Cabrera ended up going. So did they even need Soto? I don't know. I feel like so there's other relievers. We'll get into the snubs later, but there's other relievers from the AL that are probably more deserving than Gregory Soto, in my opinion.
Definitely. All right. So here are those National League closers that made the All-Star team. They're actually not all closers. We've got one guy who's not a closer, which is going to be the most surprising. Obviously, we got Josh Hader, one of the best closers in baseball. Edwin Diaz, maybe the best strikeout artist in the game. Ryan Helsley, who's, you know, really come into his own this year. David Bednar, people like to call Yinzer Supreme. And we got maybe the biggest surprise on the entire All-Star roster, Joe Mantiply of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Many people probably have never even heard this guy's name. Pretty sure he's still got at least a sub 2 ERA. I'm going to double check this, but do you have any thoughts on these guys? I mean, there's probably lots to say about Mantiply, who's probably he's probably never expected that he would be an all-star at any point in his career, but pretty crazy that a setup man made it, especially a setup man for the greatest closer in baseball, Mark Melancon.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's so funny reading those first four names and like, oh, these guys are huge, like up, like high velo, big strikeout guys. And then you got Joe Mantiply as the fifth reliever and he's having a great year. I honestly think he's more deserving than Gregory Soto. It's just weird to see him and like, but you look at his Statcast page and it's like off the chart. Outside of his K percentage, everything else is, you know, and fastball philo, everything else is, you know, 98, 100 percentile. Makes you wonder how Mark Melancon's still closing games for them. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And I see if a team like the Diamondbacks, you know, I think next week we might talk about trade deadline stuff. If they might try to move Mantiply while his value is at its possibly highest right now.
Definitely in the cards there for a guy who's 31 years old and is now, you know, getting the notoriety that he never had. He just doesn't walk anybody. And I think he has a funky delivery too. So that probably has led into all that. Now that we've covered both leagues, who are you most excited to see in the All-Star game? I'll start. I'm really excited to see Helsley. I'm not a Cardinals fan or anything. I just have him in my home league and I sort of picked him up. Not on accident. I streamed him for a day because he had like a zero ERA and then he threw 103 miles per hour. And I was like, I'm never dropping this guy. So I'm really excited for, you know, the whole world to see him throw over 100 miles per hour. Who are you excited to see though?
I think, like some of the underrated, under the radar type guys like David Bednar, who maybe not a lot of people have seen since he's pitching in Pittsburgh, or Emmanuel Clase, who's, you know, hopefully he's just going to come out and throw 102, 103 mile per hour cutters. And that should, you know, for the casual fan watching the All-Star game, that, you know, that's obviously something that's going to, you know, pique their interest, hopefully.
Definitely. So now that we've covered all the guys that did make it, let's talk about the guys that didn't make it and talk about some snubs from the All-Star game. Got a list of four guys here, and I think it's a really good list. These were all guys that I was also thinking of. So let's just go one by one. I think all of these guys, since they didn't get honored in the game, I think they deserve their due right here. And so let's start out with AJ Minter of the Atlanta Braves. What are your thoughts on him right now as the closer in Atlanta with Jansen possibly coming back? But also, what makes you think that he was snubbed?
Yeah, he's kind of, you know, the Braves had their bullpen kind of saved them last. Their bullpen was, they don't want to say saved them, but their bullpen was a large part in the reason of, you know, why they won the World Series. And I think they were kind of some under the radar names there, like, you know, Tyler Matzek, but he's been hurt this year and Minter's kind of been the one filling the void and holding that whole group together. And, you know, from a numbers wise, he's been 49 strikeouts over 37 innings, whips under one, ERA under two. He only has the three saves, but he's got a bunch of holds. He's been great. He's been filling in for Kenley Jansen. This is kind of where I think that, you know, these non-closer relievers get undervalued. And I feel like they need to, choosing relievers, they need to start taking, you don't even have to take holds that seriously, but just, you know, overall numbers and like, AJ Minter deserves. I know there's a lot of talented guys on the Braves roster to represent them, but AJ Minter, I feel like, got snubbed. This is one of the biggest snubs in the NL this year.
Definitely. He's got a 1.70 ERA, a 34.5% strikeout rate, and that comes with just 4.2% walks against batters. He is really good, and he's been really dominant this year. And, you know, you can't really call him a non-closer reliever because he has been closing recently. He's got three saves. So I think he definitely deserved consideration. It's really hard to fit everybody on the rosters, especially relievers, because there's so many of them that are deserving. But yeah, I mean, the four that we're talking about right now, especially Minter, they have been more than deserving. The next guy we've got on the list is Michael King of the New York Yankees. He started off the season as like a long reliever and he was a starter even before this year, but he took the league by storm just right off the bat. And he's, I sort of thought he was going to be one of those relievers that does really well for a month and then the league sort of figures him out, turns it around, and he sort of is not as good as he was in the first month. But he's really been solid the rest of the year. He hasn't been as crazy as he was, but he's been really solid. You got any thoughts on Michael King?
Yeah, I think this is, kind of a different reliever where he might not be getting, he's not racking up a ton of holds or saves. But he's able to work, you know, multiple innings, and that really, I think, is a big underrated factor when we're looking at relievers. And he's got 62 strikeouts. He's thrown 46.1 innings, which is, you know, and more than a lot of other relievers. And he still has, his K rate in the 96th percentile, whiff rate in the 97th percentile. He's getting a ton of swings and misses. Kind of like their new Chad Green, like when Chad Green kind of transitioned. Chad Green came up. He was, they thought he was going to be a starter and then kind of transitioned to long relief, middle relief, and then just ended up being that, guy you can trust in the sixth, seventh inning to keep them in games for the later innings. And it's kind of where King's at now. And again, just like kind of an underrated reliever position guy, option right now that they get like over Gregory Soto. I think Michael King probably is, the better reliever.
Mm-hmm. Is Gregory Soto the only Tiger that made it? I think that's the reason why he's on there.
Well, I don't know if Miguel Cabrera counts since he
was
like honorary. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, yeah. No, that's very true. I don't know. I wonder if that goes for that. But yeah, I mean, I guess Joe Mantiply made it because the Diamondbacks don't have any legends right now. But yeah, Michael King sort of just adds to the treasure trove of Yankees pitchers. They are just loaded. They just got too many guys out there. It's sort of not even fair. The fact that, you got Aaron Judge hitting 30 home runs and Giancarlo Stanton out there. And then you pair that with rotation. That's really good. And then you also get to say, oh, you know what? We also got Aroldis Chapman, Clay Holmes, and Michael King. So the Yankees are looking pretty good right now, if I have to say so myself.
And Loaizaga's coming back soon too.
Yeah. So. I mean, they're without Zach Britton too, who you mentioned earlier. Yep. So yeah. They're really just unstoppable. They've been really good at pitching development, especially this year. All of their guys are pretty much reaching their ceilings, which is what you want to see, especially as guys who talk about relievers. It's a lot easier to talk about good ones than it is to talk about bad ones. But yeah, so let's move on to the third guy. We're moving to a National League guy. We've got, I guess this is the second National League guy. We're switching off. We got Devin Williams of the Milwaukee Brewers. He is known for his incredible 2020 season and also his airbender changeup, which is basically a screwball and one of the most devastating pitches in baseball. But he has been unstoppable this year. And I think it's been going sort of by the wayside because he does not get saves. He does have 5 saves, which is more than both Michael King and Minter combined. But when you have Hader out there, you don't really think about the rest of that bullpen because Hader's so good, but Devin Williams is insane. Do you think that with Hader's contract coming up, that Devin Williams is going to be like one of the most coveted closers maybe in the next year or two? And how do you feel about him being snubbed from this All-Star game?
Yeah, I think once or if he ends up taking over the closer role there, or if he's closing anywhere, I think he becomes a top 5 closer easily. He started, he had a rough April, and then since then he's been absolutely, he's been definitely the best non-closer reliever in baseball since then. And I know, saves are what get people into the All-Star game, but he's leading the league in holds with 22 holds and plus the 5 saves. So he's got 27 saves plus holds, which I'm pretty sure, looking at it right now, I'm pretty sure that leads the league in combined save plus holds. I'm pretty sure he leads the league in that. So, because Hader has 26 saves. So, I think he's I don't want to say he's underrated because people have known him for a while now, but like this was the year I think he deserved to be in the All-Star game. His K percentage is currently 3rd amongst all relievers.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Hader both probably should have been in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I think you sort of can say he is underrated, though, in the same way that people talk about Jose Ramirez, in that he's not talked about enough. Jose Ramirez is really good. I think he's one of the best players in baseball, but he's not really in that conversation. He's talked about a lot as somebody who's really good, but I don't think he's talked about enough as, top 5, top 10 base player in baseball enough, where it's like the same for Devin Williams. He's so good. He's obviously talked about enough. He's got tons of gifts on Pitching Ninja, but I don't think people talk about him as like a top five, top 10 reliever because he's not the closer on his team. He may not be the best reliever on his team, but when you're striking out 41% of batters, that's just, that's insane. Yeah, you don't normally see that when we talk about Minter and his 41% or his 34% strikeout rate and how that's really good. 40% is just bonkers, but it's all thanks to that changeup. I think it's got a 38.6% CSW. Thank you, pitcherless player pages, for that. But yeah, that's a really good 38.6 is really good. If you're not up to date with CSW, 30% is really good. So when you're getting near 40% on a pitch that you use 50% of the time, that's pretty dang good. But lastly, among the relievers who were snubbed, we've got John Schreiber of the Boston Red Sox, Rick's favorite team, and he has been incredible this year. He's a sidearmer, right?
Yeah, it's like a funky three-quarters sidearm delivery. It's definitely different. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been really good. His ERA and WHIP match each other, and neither of them are above 0.7, if that tells you how if I think that's good. But yeah, he's something else. He uses a few pitches: four seamer, slider, sinker, change, and a curveball. So he does everything. But he's sort of like Tyler Rogers, if Tyler Rogers wasn't as crazy with his delivery and if he was actually good. But yeah, what makes you think that Schreiber should have been in the All-Star game?
Yeah, I mean, just like the numbers are, they speak for themselves. I mean, 29 innings, 30 games, and he's got a 0.62 ERA and a 0.62 WHIP. And it's not like he's a ground ball pitcher. He's got 57% ground ball rate, but he's able to get swings and misses too, which kind of sets him apart from, like, you know, Tyler Rogers or an Adam Simber, who is kind of, Simber is another person who could have been on this snub list. He's had a good year. But you can kind of see with the Red Sox, they brought him up in May. He didn't come up until May, so I think that's part of the reason why he may have gotten snubbed here. But even when he came up, I mean, this is a guy who, by all accounts, was a journeyman, you know, 28 years old, pitching in AAA, and the Red Sox take a chance on him in May and throw him right into a save situation within, I think it was either his first game up or a second game up, and you can kind of tell from that point on too that they trusted him in high leverage spots, and he's really come through and saved this bullpen from being a complete disaster at times when they went through some tough times.
Oh yeah,
not having Whitlock back there when he was in the rotation, and then eventually they put Houck back in the bullpen to kind of shore things up. But Schreiber's the one who's been keeping them together, and he's, I think, deserves an all-star, an all-star chance. That would have been a great story too.
Yeah, definitely a stabilizing presence out there in Boston. I think the craziest thing about him so far is he throws 94.5 miles per hour, which is not blowing anybody away. Definitely would blow me away, and probably Rick. I think you might be a good hitter, so make some contact there. But yeah, that's not the upper echelon, but if you're not looking at it right now, what do you think his swinging strike rate is on that 94.5 mile per hour fastball?
I don't know. It's got to be under 20%.
It is under, but it's 19.9%. So
that's still insane.
That's especially for a fastball that doesn't come in, blowing your socks off. So, I mean, pitcherless has that as the sixth best among relievers. So, wow. I mean, that's pretty good, especially when you got guys like Helsley who average like 99 miles per hour on their fastball, and you got somebody like Schreiber up there blowing guys away with a mid-90s fastball. Pretty crazy, especially to be able to throw that fast from that arm angle. But that's going to cover the four big snubs from the All-Star game. And there were still a few more that we didn't want to go unmentioned because, if you're talking about snubs, you can't snub snubs, not really fair to these guys. But yeah, so we got a couple closers. We got a couple guys who have filled in as closers. We got a couple honorable mentions. I see you changing that. That was Scott Barlow.
Scott Barlow.
Yeah, so we've got I think 7-8 mentions. Scott Barlow of the Royals, Rafael Montero of the Astros, Sir Anthony Dominguez of the Phillies, Jason Adam of the Tampa Bay Rays, Felix Bautista of the Orioles, Evan Phillips of the Dodgers, Paul Sewald of the Mariners, and Eli Morgan of the Guardians. Do you want to pick one or two of these guys that you think maybe has had the best season so far among these names?
I guess Jason Adam has been sneaky, as is Evan Phillips. Kind of has been just a name that no one really has talked about, but he's, I get, one of those guys who's kind of kept, he's been the linchpin of that that Dodgers bullpen this year when they dealt with so many injuries, and Craig Kimbrel's had his ups and downs, so he's obviously an interesting name. You know, Sewald, we've seen before, and he's really, he deserves to be in the All-Star game sooner rather than later. Barlow's kind of snuck up on a lot of people. I think he started off slow and kind of, you know, has turned it around lately. Yeah, I mean, Eli Morgan's another one of those guys who doesn't really get a lot of holds or saves or anything, but he just, like, ratios are great, strikeout numbers are great. He just, you know, keeps the Guardians in ball games, and there's should be value in that. And when we talk about representing, like, having the best pitchers represent the league, their leagues, you know, so that kind of brings me to my next point, which is I don't understand how we can talk about how the makeup is of the All-Star game relievers, if you have anything to say about these guys that we just talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I was also going to mention Eli Morgan, so you covered that, but I think Rafael Montero has been pretty crazy too. Sub 2 ERA, that's always pretty good. He gets a lot of ground balls, gets a lot of strikeouts, definitely has been stabilizing a bullpen that sort of needed it with your cover boy of closing time this week, Ryan Pressly, sort of being on shaky ground across the first month of the season, but he's definitely turned it around. But yeah, you got any, let's hear your thoughts on the roster discrepancies for the All-Star game, because I wasn't totally sure about this either.
Well, I think, so the AL has 9 starters and 4 relievers, and I feel like that's, I mean, obviously if you're from a major league roster standpoint, that's a little, that doesn't make sense. You have more, you're closer to 5 starters and 8 relievers if you're going to go with 13 pitchers, so I understand that, like, starters get a lot of the, you know, attention, they get a lot of the acclaim, but for the purposes of the actual game itself, I feel like it makes more sense to maybe move closer to, like, 5 starters and 8 relievers. And, you know, it's obviously not something people want to see the big name starters throw, and I understand that, especially if, like, Otani's in the game or DeGrom, Scherzer, but I think it would be, from just a baseball standpoint, watching, you know, some of these relievers that didn't make it, and plus the relievers who did make the team, you know, like, the NL could roll out 8 relievers that are just absolutely, I mean, they probably could throw a no-hitter against an All-Star lineup, you know, like with Hader, Diaz, Helsley, Bednar, Devin Williams, Minter. I mean, there's just so much talent there that I feel like they're underrepresented a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do see the starting pitcher, you know, appeal, and those are the guys who get the big innings, the most innings, so I get it.
Definitely. I think as a fellow reliever writer, I would love to see, you know, a whole bullpen game, but that might really upset Nick. I know how he feels about bullpen games, so he might really, you know, lose his mind if just a whole bunch of relievers are trotted out there. But, you know, as we've seen in baseball recently, that seems to be the most effective strategy if you want to win games. So if you're really trying to win the All-Star game, even though it's not going to get you home field advantage anymore, that might be the way to go. So maybe they're just trying to keep people from doing that. I mean, technically it is already a bullpen game, nobody's pitching more than an inning anyway, so I don't know. I didn't know if there was like you had to have a certain number of starters and relievers before that, but it does seem like it's sort of getting out of whack that, like, only a few relievers from each league are going to be honored. But maybe as we get closer to the game and starters, you know, pitch the weekend right before the All-Star game, that they're taking off, maybe they'll be replaced by relievers. But I don't know, we just saw some replacements for some of the other starters, but not starters, I mean all-star starters, as in batters, and it was like Garrett Cooper and JD Martinez were replacing some guys, and I was like, whoa, where is Ty France? Why is he not getting honored here? Austin Riley.
Yeah. I know. I don't know how Riley,
I mean, that's a whole nother podcast. This is a bullpen podcast. Keep those hitters out of here. But yeah, I mean, that's basically all there is to talk about for the All-Star news. That game is going to be coming up. What is that? The 18th or something?
Yeah, a week from, next Tuesday. So I believe it's the 18th. Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm excited for that. Excited to see some stars make their way to Dodger Stadium. Some place that I hope to never appear in. Sorry, Dodgers fans. But that's going to cover the main segment of our podcast today. So now it's time to, close out the podcast with our What to Watch For segment, where we talk about the bullpens that you want to keep an eye on as a fantasy manager going into the final week or so before the All-Star game. These bullpens are in flux. These bullpens are sort of all over the place right now. Some of them have underachieving closers, and some of them just have lots of options out there. And some of them, like the Reds, maybe have just been all over the place for the entirety of the year. So, what team are you watching for this week?
There's a couple. I mean, we kind of talked about Texas and Philadelphia already, and those are obviously situations to monitor to see who kind of, takes over, who kind of runs away with the jobs there. But some teams we didn't mention, and Minnesota, I think we talked about every week so far on this podcast. But it looks like there's a new competition for Emilio Pagan, or for Joan Duran, and it's not Emilio Pagan. It's actually Tyler Duffy, who's been pitching really well lately. And, going back a few years, he has been one of, my favorite. He was never really a closer, but one of my favorite holds targets, and he's kind of perked my ears up a little bit lately. He's been pitching really well. I still like Duran in that bullpen, but Duffy got the last save, so maybe he works his way into this committee or can just take over the role altogether, as they seem to be kind of shying away from Duran in the closer role. Seattle's another one. Like, Paul Sewald, I thought, was kind of running away with it, and then Diego Castillo got a save this week. I think that was just giving Sewald some time off, but still, just interested to see if, how this kind of ends going into the All-Star break with those two. The Dodgers, I mean, Craig Kimbrell's been kind of a mess, and he's been banged up. Bruce Dark Gratterall's got two saves the past week. Is Gratterall a legitimate threat to Kimbrell here? And that's really kind of an intriguing story to follow, and seeing where that goes into the All-Star break. And yeah, Cincinnati, another one that's been on this list all the time. And Alexis Diaz, finally, he came back off the IL. Hunter Strickland is technically the closer for now, but is that going to last? Because I think it's pretty safe to say Diaz is the most talented reliever in this bullpen. Yeah. So yeah, those are some teams, some situations to look at, as we go into the All-Star break, and then, try to figure out second half bullpens and who's going to be the closer in what situation, what team going forward.
Yeah, definitely. After our next podcast, we'll be covering the guys who might be traded and who might be set up to take over closer roles. So that's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on. So maybe you can, get ahead of maybe your fantasy managers that listen to this podcast by going out and doing your own research there. But we'll definitely help you out next week with that. I totally agree with you on all of your ideas about all these bullpens. I think the Reds bullpen has just been absolutely crazy. The fact that Hunter Strickland, with his 4.99 ERA and 17.8% strikeout rate, has been the closer for a couple weeks now just tells you all you really need to know about the situation going on there. I think one that maybe is not something to watch for, but is somebody to stay away from, is if you've got Tanner Rainey on your team, which I do in my home league. So I'm speaking from experience. His team is really bad, and he is like a solid reliever, but he's not the most dominant reliever. He's not a guy that you would roster as a setup man, I don't think, in holds leagues. I think he would be sort of up there, but even in the Nationals, they're not that great. They don't get that many save opportunities, and he has not been closing them down, you know, with ease every single time. And he's not getting a million strikeouts or sporting a sub one ERA. So I think if you do have fellow fantasy managers in your league that are interested in acquiring a closer and you're in sort of a shallow league, definitely 10 teamers, try to trade him, because you should be able to get at least something back, maybe go for a bat or an unheralded starter, because there's got to be guys on the wire that are better than what he's doing right now. I think if Dominguez is on the wire, that's some guy who I think you should go for. I've mentioned this in my reliever ranks before, that not to stay away from Tanner Rainey, because if you're in a 15 teamer or even a 12 teamer like I am in my home league, he is a guy that's been sort of good for you if you didn't draft any good closers. But yeah, and then like you said, you want to keep an eye on the Rangers bullpen right now. It seems like Brett Martin is the guy who's favored right now, but he's a lefty. You never really know with left-handed closers what's going to happen there. But yeah, that is those are the bullpens to watch for right now. I think it's going to be another interesting week of baseball coming up. I did want to note that the last time we recorded, we covered AL dark horse candidates for the closer. Mm. Do you remember who I mentioned for the A's?
Did you bring up Trevino again?
I did. I said, hey, this one might be controversial. He's been terrible this year, but I keep an eye on Trevino. He's the only one with experience there. And guess who has gotten all the last like four or five saves for the A's? It's Trevino. I feel like Nostradamus right now. If that doesn't give credence to my my recommendations on these podcasts and in reliever ranks, I don't know what else will. But yeah, that was a really good call.
He's been good too since he came back, uh-huh, for the most part. So yeah, that's definitely someone to keep an eye on and add if you're, you know, looking for saves, because they're rolling with them. It hasn't been anyone else. It's just been him in the role. So yeah, it's a good call.
Yeah. I mean, and even if you look at his underlying statistics, not to drag on the podcast too long, but Trevino is possibly having his best season. Obviously last year, if you look at results, it's like 22 saves, 3.18 ERA. That's got to be his best season. But no, his xFIP is like a run lower. Last year it was 4.48. This year it's 3.25. So he's obviously, with his 6.66 ERA, definitely getting really unlucky this year. He's featuring an increased strikeout rate by a lot. Last year he only struck out 21.5% of batters. Now he's at 28.5. So I think he's really having his best season this year, and he's sort of just been unlucky. His BABIP is 4.72. So it sounds pretty unlucky. He's got a 63.5% left on base rate as well. So he's been getting really unlucky. So this is how you find underrated relievers, is you look at their skills and you tell yourself, hey, like, it's going to turn around. With small samples, you can always have things go bad for a little while, because in a small sample, you can have bad luck for the entirety of the sample and it won't ever even out. But mm-hmm, we still have half of the year left. We still have half a year for Trevino to retake that closer role, especially because, I'm not sure many other teams are going to be looking into trading for him, especially since he's still got two more years of control after this year. So I don't think the A's are going to look to trade him right now. So I think he is the best choice as the closer there. So if you're really desperate, or even if you're just trying to stay ahead of the game right now, then definitely go pick up Trevino. But other than that, you have any closing thoughts for the podcast today, Rick?
No, that's nothing really. That's a good call on Trevino, though. I've noticed the strikeout rate has been like, it's been like the one thing that whenever I look at into him, I'm like, he's still getting like these swings and misses at like a really high rate compared to his, you know, his past couple seasons, and like everything else looks bad. But yeah, like at least he's got that going for him, so maybe he turns things around. And like you said, it's like we're talking about relievers, like one bad half season's like, just, it's only like 25 to 30 innings, you know, so like things can turn around quickly. And yeah, so for looking forward to the second half, you know, it's almost like you have to take it is like a different season altogether post All-Star break, especially after the trade deadline when there's so much movement. So that and Tanner Rainey, right? I think Tanner Rainey's the most frustrating reliever, mm-hmm, or closer at least, in baseball right now. And it's partially on him, it's partially on the Nationals. And yeah, it's just like, I always wanted him to be like the dominant closer that he, you know, he's shown that he, the talent is there to be, but it just hasn't all added up, and he's just kind of in closer limbo right now in a bad team, and he's kind of middling himself. So yeah, something to, not really anyone you need to roster at this point, and it is what it is.
Yes, definitely somebody to keep on your rosters in 15 teamers, but anything lower than that, maybe start to shop him, especially before we get to the deadline where,
yeah,
you know, a lot of closer roles are going to open up where people are going to have options. Maybe right now they don't think they're going to be able to add a closer to their team, when in fact they will in just a couple weeks, in just a few weeks, mm-hmm. when all these things are shaken up, there's going to be lots of closers. People always forget that. I think that, and especially in fab leagues, they don't save enough fab, looking at me here, they don't save enough fab for when all the closers are going to be available right after the deadline. So that should be interesting, but yeah, definitely get ahead of the game while people are desperate. But that is going to do it for the podcast. Is there anything you want to plug before I send the listeners home?
Nothing in particular. You know, it's, you find our stuff on pitcherlist.com, and you know, reliever ranks have been churning along. You and the rest of the team have been doing a great job.
Thank you.
I think we all need to, you know, look at those. Those are great to look at daily. Mm-hmm. Along with, you know, whatever else we put out weekly, and it's going to be an interesting this month, and obviously interesting July. It always gets me amped up going into July when the trade deadline, you know, weeks away. That always gets me, especially for, we talk about relievers because so much can change there. If, you know, a closer gets traded, and that impacts, you know, all sorts of things. So yeah, looking forward to the coming weeks and the All-Star game and the trade deadline.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, well, you can find my work on PitcherList as well. I'll be writing the reliever ranks just right after this. So that'll be coming out on Wednesday along with this podcast. And then I should be doing the reliever ranks the next day. And then, no, not the next day too. Just 2 days in a row. And you can find the rest of my work at theathleteshub.org as well. I've got a podcast over there. And I write for Baseball HQ, but that requires a subscription. So unless you got money or a real need for some great fantasy advice and content, then go over to Baseball HQ there. But yeah, all our stuff is free on pitcherlist.com. Yeah, bro, it is worth it. I got a free subscription to the website. That website is crazy. But it is. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler, and you can follow Rick at I Am Rick Graham. But that is going to do it for the In the Pen podcast, and you can catch us next week.